Everybody turn, and there's some Bibles right back in the back there under the Sedeka box, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. We've been talking for a while about wholesome thinking, getting our thinking right. You know, that's the thing that will defeat or put you over, is your thoughts. Your thought life is really a powerful, powerful part of you. We need to develop ourselves in the way we think. And I think most people would probably tell you, well, I think what I think and I can't help it. My thoughts just do what they want to do. But the fact is, you have control. God has given you control. God made you a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. We've said this so many times around here, you know, people start repeating it with me immediately because it's important for us to have this basic teaching down. I am a spirit. When your spirit got born again, your spirit was saved instantaneously. And the reason it was saved instantaneously was that the God of the Holy of Holies that we talk about all later, the Holy of Holies, made the Holy of Holies in you. Amen. Right on the inside of you, there's a Holy of Holies. So when you say, I will enter the Holy of Holies, you're not talking about coming to some earthly tabernacle where there's a kippurah and you slip inside and see the Ark of the Covenant. No! That's gone. That veil was rent in two. And no matter what they build again or do again, it will never house the presence of God again because the presence of God is now in us. I am a spirit. Say it.
I am a spirit.
The presence of the Lord, lives in me. Everything God knows is in my spirit. I know what God knows in my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But I am a soul, or I have a soul. Say, I have a soul.
I have a soul.
I have a soul. Now, God made that soul to be a servant to the spirit man. Mm-hmm. And to be able, because spirits don't communicate in this earth. So, God made the soul man as the mind, the will, the emotions, your conscience. Your imagination dwells there. God made that to serve the spirit in the earth. And then he gave us a suit or a covering, a body, again, to make contact with one another. That's the way it is. But all of the other two, soul and body, are to serve the spirit man. The unregenerate man. And I quoted the scripture this morning as I prayed. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned.
Where is that? Sorry.
Well, it's in the Corinthians someplace, okay. But I can't tell you right where it is offhand.
I want that one.
Sometimes I know the place, but I don't know its address, right? But we can find it.
Okay.
We'll find it. In fact, if one of you has a iPad, look it up. Amen. So the point of this whole thing is that the natural man is when the soulish realm is in control. Remember, now God didn't make it to be that way. God made it so the spirit man would be in control. And the soulish man would serve. But when the soulish man takes control and becomes preeminent, and I've got to tell you that that's what we put all of our effort into. The natural world puts all of its effort into soul development. Soul development. We worry about soul development. We're concerned about it. We put degrees of soul development, right? We've got BAs, We've got BSs. We've got MAs and we've got MSs. We've got DDs and PhDs. We got all of those things that are really marks of soul development. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yes.
1 Corinthians 2:14.
2:14. Anybody knows that?
Yeah, I know.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That's right. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And it furthermore says they're foolishness. Well, this is the thing that we live in all around us today. You bring up spiritual matters in a natural world, and what do you hear from people? You're weird. Why? Because we can't see.
Peculiar.
We can't hear. We can't feel. We can't taste. And we can't smell what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what they think.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes no senses. Only sense is the way they say. It makes no sense to us. That's ridiculous. We were talking about it on Thursday night. People are ready to believe in extraterrestrial. You know, people believe in that. You know, nowadays, I think if they took a poll, they'd find out that there are people that really believe that there are zombies on the earth.
Yes.
People are ready to believe that kind of thing. And have you ever noticed if something comes along that is weird, like Eastern religion, transcendental meditation. Our former pastor here wrote his thesis on TM. And I remember just, you know, his capsule explanation. Transcendental meditation is staring at a wall trying to empty your mind. Just empty it out. Whereas meditation, from God's point of view, is trying to fill your mind with God's Word. How many of you know what the Bible says about when a chamber is swept clean? The enemy comes right back into it. But a chamber that's full of God's precious Word, God's Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Just let the enemy try to get in there. He can't. That's what he tries. That's what temptation's all about. Is him trying to penetrate the Word of God. Get through. But if you filled your mind with the Word. So here's the point I'm making. We spend all of our time training our souls and we wonder why things don't go well. When God says spirit, soul, and body, the world says body, soul, and spirit. But if it feels good, it's got to be good, right? But God says there are things that are good for you. There are things that are good that I have made and designed you to prosper in the midst of them. And there are other things that even if they're not bad, if they become a preeminent thing, we call them addictions, right? Some of them are addictions. Did you know people get addicted to weird things? It doesn't take an illegal drug or even a prescription drug to get people addicted to it. I've known people addicted to things like Werther's candies. They didn't go any place without it. They had to have Werther's. People get addicted. And that's just letting the soul man reign and rule. But God says something about us, he said, in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it's up on the board there, says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We could carry that on out a little bit because the intention is here, we don't walk by what we can sense, by natural senses. Isn't that right? And yet, that is the area where even Christian people come to a place where they almost demand it. Charismatic Pentecostal Christians oftentimes base things on what they can feel. Oh, I felt something. Did you feel it? You know, our bodies are strange. We're strange. And our bodies react to the Spirit of God, and sometimes you feel. But we preached a little bit a while back that, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Some of the more powerful healings that I have seen haven't been with feeling. In fact, sometimes people don't know they're healed until later. Sometimes when you lay hands on people, we want this. Oh, we want to shake. You know, I'd love to shake you. You know, just get you and shake you. And then it got to be so popular that we'd shake people, and if we couldn't get them to shake enough, we'd just shove them over and say, whoa, look what God did. And I'm telling you something, people, that is a natural man demand. We don't need that. Am I against it? Listen, if God knocks you over, I'm not holding you up.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Remember one night, this was years ago when we were holding services over in Fraser. And a lady came up to me and she asked for prayer for someone. And we were praying together and we were just agreeing together. And I prayed and, I'm the pastor. And I prayed and I got done. And I started to turn loose and she says, no, not yet. And she just held on to me. And all of a sudden, next thing I knew, both of us were laying on the floor. And it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any warning at all. We were just down. So yes, I believe in that. Don't go out of here and say, well, Pastor Terry says, you know. Listen, if God says, do it. But we don't get into the fads. I don't have to knock you down. In fact, you know, it got so popular for a while I was holding people up. Because people would come up just expecting to fall over. Well, it's all right. I'm not, you know, if you feel better praying on your back, that's okay. But don't act like God did it. You got what I'm talking about? You know, there's just some of these things that are just Pentecostalisms. People get into it. Why? Because we want to feel something. Because we want to see something. Now in the scripture in Joel, the Bible says, in the last days, saith the Lord, He says, my old men will dream dreams and my young men will see visions. Well, that tells me that can happen. Amen? Now, I want to ask you a question. How many times does the Bible talk about Jesus having dreams or visions?
Since He heard His Father's voice, and He only did what He saw and heard the Father doing.
And here is the point about visions. I'm in favor of them. God knows when we need them. I've had really one that I can say that I've had in my life, and that was back in probably 1967, that I can really say I had a vision. I'm not against them. Some people are more given to vision. Some people are much more given to dreams. I'm not. I still am not. But you know what the Lord showed us is that dreams and visions enter into the area of what the senses can get involved with. Now, is that right or is that wrong? When you see a vision, in what you perceive is that you are seeing something actually. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I'm just telling you, it's not the highest form of God's revelation. And the reason I say that is because I think sometimes people say, well, if I saw a vision, then I would know. If I had a dream, then I would know. But you know, when is knowing better? Just when you know that you know. When you know that the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you is indicating something, when He says something. Amen? In God's Word translation of Romans 12:2, I like to go over this, because I don't believe Jesus did walk by dreams and visions. He probably had some. In fact, maybe someone would say that when He was on the Mount, that was a vision. That seems to me that was more than a vision. It seems to me that Peter and James and John saw it too. Moses and Elijah came and spoke with Yeshua. That doesn't sound like just a vision to me. Maybe it was. Maybe there were four people got to see that vision. But the point is, that was not the way Yeshua was led. He didn't walk that way. We walk by
faith.
And not by
sight.
Not by sight. God's Word translation of Romans 12:2 says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. And we started this last week talking about this. Well, we started this part of talking about this. We started most of this way back. But it says, when you do that, then you'll always be able to determine what God really wants. What is good, pleasing, and perfect. And that's hearing, seeing, perceiving with the Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about. Hearing with the Spirit, seeing with the Spirit, but not just in the way that we normally think about it. I talked about this a minute ago. People pray, Lord, please come and fill this house today. Well, I know what people are praying, and what they want is God's. They want to sense it. They want to recognize God's presence. But there's a problem with the way we think. And some people, when they pray, still think of the Father as way off in heaven. Now, they know they've got communication lines that can reach Him, but it's still afar off. But the fact is, our Father's on the inside. The Holy Spirit's on the inside. He lives in you. He dwells with you. He will be in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll abide with you forever, even until the end of the age. Amen. Always with me.
Yes.
I don't have to ever say, Lord, please come. And to invite the Lord into our services, really what we want to do is just to invite His activity. To open ourselves up to what He's doing. Because really, God will do what He wants to do if we'll let Him in us. Amen? You can shut Him off. You don't have to listen to Him. People do it all the time. Every time a salvation message is given and people walk out without receiving, they've shut the Holy Spirit off. They've grieved Him. That's what they've done. But we don't have to be like the people of this world. We can change the way we think. And that's what I want believers to do. Change the way you think about God. We talked about it a little bit earlier. In fact, let me give you some scriptures about Jesus. We talked about how He was led. Kim brought it up, as I mentioned it a minute ago, from John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He's talking about Himself there. He says, I can do nothing of myself. Now you all remember Philippians 2, don't you? Philippians 2 says that though Jesus was equal with God, He thought it not something to be tightly grasped, but He made Himself of no reputation and emptied Himself and became as man, even as sinful flesh. He became as sinful flesh. Doesn't say He sinned. But He took on the form of a man. He emptied Himself to do that. So when we read this and He says the Son can do nothing of Himself, He's talking about the Son in this earth, walking in flesh. He can do nothing of Himself. Why is it we think we can? When the Son of God, walking on this earth, said that the Son can do nothing of Himself. He says, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So what Yeshua was saying was, I do what my Father's doing. Now He didn't get that with a vision, did He? How many of you think Jesus got up in the morning and had a whole list of stuff came along by vision? Go over to Samaria and then stop by the well and there'll be a woman there and you talk to her. Here's what you're supposed to say to her. How many of you think it went that way? How many of you think Jesus got up and He went on His way and the Lord said, walk this way, now walk that way, now go over here, and now stop over here, and just wait here. The disciples are going in, but I want you to just wait right here. How does that happen? Does that happen by continual banter, or does that just happen by an inner knowing? It's the inner knowing. Why are you telling us about it, Jesus? We all know Jesus did things that way. I'm telling you about it because you do things and can do things the same way. God's made you to act the same way Jesus did on this earth. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Why? because I'm going to send that same Holy Spirit that was with me, directing me a step at a time, and He'll direct you at a step at a time. In 5:30 of John chapter 5, verse 30, He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. That's pretty complete, isn't it? Nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. Whatever I'm hearing on the inside, the inner man's hearing it. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then in John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So when Jesus opened His mouth to speak, what was He speaking? Well, all the time? That's what He said. Now that is where we get it. You know, I think most of us know what it's like to open our mouth sometimes and speak prophetically. Amen? I love it. I love to speak prophetically. What the Scripture is indicating here is that Jesus did that all the time. And Jesus indicated to us that we can come to that place where we walk with the Father, yes, hear with the Father, speak with the Father, judge, not judging people, but judging, discerning things with the Father.
And that judge is so important because, yes, when we're in the Word, right, that's the blueprint. That's the, is this real or not? And then when you have that thought, you judge and you go, wait a minute, there is no love in this thought. This can't be the Father. And that's that safeguard.
That's it. That's it right there. That's how we begin to know. And that's that area of correction that I was talking about earlier. You know, there's still people that believe God will correct you by breaking your leg.
No.
Yeah. You don't have to break your leg. He's got the Word. Amen?
Right.
It's a rod, all right, but it doesn't break.
It loves.
It, that's
it
right.
And
that's
loves.
Right. And so we know that that's what He's doing for us. And what we've talked about this, that soulish people, and, you know, when I talk about soulish people, I'm not talking about unbelievers are soulish. But how many of you know believers can be soulish? They can live to the flesh. I know that's a fact because Paul, by the Holy Spirit, spent a great deal of his time trying to talk to believers about getting their lives over under control of the Spirit. And what he's really saying is, get your spirit, which is in the whole, which the Lord dwells inside of you, back in control. Your spirit man's got, that's how we think, not as other people think. This is that area about having a renewed mind. A mind that's renewed. And how does it get renewed?
By the Word.
By the Word. You just keep, that's right, by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. Now, what we're talking about again here now and continuing to remember is that all of these things that we're endeavoring to receive, we've already got. Remember, it's already in your spirit. It's already done. Did you know there's not one sickness nor disease that can attack you that's not already healed?
Amen.
How is it healed? By His stripes, you were healed. He took your infirmities. Now think about that. Yeshua on the earth, when He's on that cross, He took all of the infirmities and became sin for us, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He took our infirmities. He took them. Bible says He became so that He wasn't even recognizable as a man. I believe that means that this, all of the sickness and disease, not just the beating that He took, but all the sickness and disease distorted His very image.
He became a curse.
That's right. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. If He took them, why do we keep taking them back?
Because we don't believe.
It's all a matter of trust. It's all a matter of belief. We already have it. But how many times when we pray for something, do we still think about when it's going to get here? Where is it coming from? How will he do it? I have financial problems. I think I'll go to my mailbox. Well, now, wait a second. It sometimes comes in the mailbox. But that's not... It's already done. Say, it's already done.
It's already done.
It's already done. It's already completed.
It has to be shalom.
That's right.
That we know.
That's right.
That it is done. And then you rest till that manifestation of the harvest or the healing or
that's
whatever
good.
That we're asking, you it's rest. Amen. As our soul man goes, I have to perform.
That's right.
I have to do something to get God to notice me.
That's right. That's right. By the way, this is body teaching. You understand that? This is the way the body teaches. The body doesn't all come from up here. The body's out all here. We're mishpacha. Can you want to speak Hebrew? Say mishpacha. What's that mean?
Family.
We're family. We're the body of Messiah. We're gathered together here. We don't. No one of us has it all. We all have it. Amen?
Yes.
So if I go and I say, like we hear so often, well, when I see it, then I'll believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. You heard that? What is that?
Soul.
It's the opposite of faith, isn't it? And usually in the back of that is fear that it isn't actually going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? I'll believe it when I see it. There's a negative thought to it, isn't there? There's something negative. And incidentally, you speak that way all the time, you speak against your blessing.
Yes.
You absolutely do. See, faith is not believing that God can, but that he will. It's believing that he already has, that it's already done.
There is a seeing in the spirit, but the seeing of the flesh is
that's right.
But when you see it in the spirit, then you have that shalom.
That's right. And that the eyes of the spirit are 100% accurate, aren't they?
Yes.
They don't get deceived. The eyes of the flesh, how many of you have ever seen something that wasn't so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many of you have ever seen somebody who was a master of prestidigitation?
Prestidigitation.
You know what prestidigitation is?
I've heard of it.
It's that the hand is faster than the eye, and it's a magician.
Yeah.
What people call magicians. There's no real magic in it. It's simply, you see somebody have a coin in his hand, and all of a sudden it's gone. How did that happen? How did he do that? Well, see, your eyes have deceived you. But the eyes of the Spirit,
amen.
Yes,
they don't get deceived.
That's awesome.
Because they see with the Father.
Yes.
They see what the Father sees, and they know what the Father knows. Amen. That's absolutely right. I'm glad you spoke that up. Because that's a fact. So we're believing not that God can and that he will. Not that he can or will, but we're believing he has. He has already done everything. You say, do you have any scripture for that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that question, because we do actually have a scripture that verifies that. And it comes out of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't catch that, this is being written to you. This is the Holy Spirit writing a love letter to us.
Amen.
A letter of instruction to us. And then he goes ahead and he speaks a little further about what he has for us. Grace and shalom be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Now I want you to think about that for a second. How grace is God's grace. God's grace is its favor. It's God's plan. It's God's purposes. But it says it can be multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
Say, be multiplied. What happens when you multiply something?
More.
Yeah, it's a lot more than adding, isn't it? Multiplying is getting...
Efficient.
Yeah, you're getting... And the Bible teaches that so that we'll get it, that grace and peace and shalom can be multiplied unto us. But how does that happen? How can you get it multiplied unto you? What's the multiplicand? What's that? Yeah, we're just being very... That's right. That's right.
The knowledge.
So what is it? Yeah, it's knowledge. God's knowledge. And what knowledge are we talking about here?
It's not man's.
Not man's. It's the knowledge of God. Where's the knowledge of God come from? What?
The Word.
The Word. Or we could say the Word and the Spirit. You know, if you think about this, I mean, this Word is written on lambskin. This Word is written on lambskin, but that's to show us that the Word is going to be written on the fleshy tables of our heart. On the fleshy tables of our heart. And when you get that knowledge into the fleshy tables of your heart, the Word of God coming in there, and how does God, what happens when God speaks Word?
It manifests.
I like to go over this because, you know, it's so simple. What?
It happens.
It happens, absolutely. When God, because the reason is because it's alive. And, you know, everybody just say hello to me. Say hello. But
hello.
When you say hello, instead of waving at me, put your hand about an inch and a half from here and say hello.
Hello.
What'd you feel?
Breath.
You felt what?
Breath.
You felt the Ruach. You felt the Ruach. When God speaks, His Ruach goes forth. His Spirit goes forth. Have you ever heard the term the Word and the Spirit agree? That's why. When God speaks, His breath goes forth. His Spirit goes forth. The Spirit of God, the wind of God comes forth. And He speaks, and what He says is life. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when we receive the knowledge of the Word, the epignosko, the full personal knowledge, the revelation of the Word, that knowledge, when you know it, that you know, you don't know how you know, but you know, because of the Spirit of God. It says, through the knowledge of God, that grace and peace is multiplied unto us. According as, verse 3, as His divine power hath given. Oh, I love that. Hath given. He hath given. Somebody tell me what the English tense is there.
Past.
Done.
It is past, but it's past perfect. It's called past perfect. Hath given. Hath given. It's done. Say it's done.
It's done.
It's done. He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Oh, man. Everything that's good. If it has to do with good, He's given it unto you. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, but He hath given it unto us already. It's already ours. Every thing that pertains to life and godliness has been given unto us. Amen? Amen. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great. This tells us about this knowledge of God that we have. It's given unto us, that's already given unto us. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, participants, active participants in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Now think about it. Think about this now. I need something. I'm praying for something. Where is it? I'm praying for it. Lord, when? How long, Lord? You know, David got into this. David didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do. David said, how long, Lord? But you know what? As long as you're not seeing what you're asking for, what is there? There's a corruption in that thing, isn't there? What is it? You're still lusting for it. You say, well, I thought lust was all evil, bad stuff. No, lust is just wanting something you don't have. And there, corruption comes into it. But what happens now if you already know, you've got the revelation of it, I already have this. And so what I'm going to do when I pray is, I've already got it. How is that going to change the way I pray? I've already got what I'm going to pray for. So how does that change the way I pray?
Thanks.
I what?
Thanksgiving.
And what did you say?
Thank
you. That's right. And so prayer turns into something different. How many of you have noticed that while David's reciting this 119th Psalm, it's all his prayer. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to God about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how precious the Word is to him and how the Word protects him from things, even though there's all kinds of troubles on all sides. I know. I've got your Torah. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my pathway. I'll tell you what, this is powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. And see, what Paul was concerned about, in fact, if you read the whole book of Ephesians, you're going to find out that Paul is trying to explain to people that you've already got it. Mm-hmm. This is the premise. This is the reason he's talking to them. And in Ephesians chapter 1. It starts out that way. I'm just going to read verse 3, but he gives that same salutation kind of thing. But then he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." All. Say all.
All.
How many of you know all things come from the Holy Spirit? All things come from God. All things came from Him. So spiritual blessing is not just talking about something that you can't see. It's talking about everything comes from God, comes from the Spirit. Every blessing comes from Him. How many of you believe that God has already perfected that which concerns you?
Amen, I know.
That's right. He has perfected that which concerns you. But I can't see it yet. We walk by faith, not by sight. As he goes on in that first chapter of Ephesians, he gives a prayer. We call this a Holy Ghost prayer. I pay special attention when I read the Word and I see the Holy Ghost praying. Do you? How many of you know that when the Holy Ghost prays for us, it's a powerful prayer?
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost is praying this prayer through Paul, the Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh is praying this. And he says this, Paul says, "By the Holy Spirit, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him."
Yes.
Well, what's he praying for now? If the Holy Spirit has already come into your spirit and you already have these things, then what's the obvious thing that he's praying for? That revelation will become reality in your
soul man
and in your heart, in the heart of you. That you'll recognize these things. Your spirit man already knows what God has for you. Your spirit man already recognizes that you already have it. But now he's praying that you'd have a wisdom and revelation in the natural knowledge would be changed. So that you wouldn't think like the people of this world think. So that you would change the way you think. Verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding... The eyes of your understanding. Another version says the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling?
That we be like Jesus.
That's right. It's shalom. Mm-hmm. The hope of His calling is shalom. We said hope, the best maybe to for a natural man to understand what hope looks like is to see it as a blueprint. Yeah, we see the blueprint here, amen. But how many of you know everything we see here in blueprint form is reality in the heavenly realm? Amen. It's all reality. So we're seeing the blueprint so that you'd know that hope, so that you'd know that plan, and that you'd know it by the Spirit of God. You'd know the hope of His calling. And the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I talked for a minute this morning about the prodigal son. What did the prodigal son have before he went to his father and asked him to give him his portion? Now think about it. Before he went and asked the father for his portion, what did he have?
He actually had the portion.
He had it already, didn't he? It was already his, wasn't it?
That's right.
It was already his. Now, how do we know that? Do you remember the eldest brother went to him after the younger son came back? And he said, I've stayed with you all these years, and I've never gotten a fatted calf to have a party with my friends. And what did his daddy say? Yeah, he said, son, all that I have is thine. Everything that is mine is yours. And this is what God wants us to get into, an understanding of this, that we know the riches of the glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Say glory.
Glory.
What does glory mean?
Kavod.
Kavod. Kavod. Glory. What does it mean?
Glory. We're crowned with His glory.
That's right. We need to know about the riches of His glory. What is it?
It's everything.
Oh, but haven't you ever heard anybody, oh Lord, let glory come into this
Jesus.
House.
Jesus!
We want glory. Well, I'm telling you, we got glory. Let it out.
Yes.
Let it out. We've got it. It's already ours, the glory of the Lord. Yes?
What is the hope of His calling? And there's sometimes that thing that we look this way instead of looking out at the finished work. We're going, oh, but I'm dirt and I've done this. And what are you going to do with it, God? And that misconception, the hope of His calling is that we allow, as that vessel, the breath of Jesus to
That's
come
right.
out.
That's right.
We are kind of, we're God, right? We are right. to be submitted to the Father in belief that we are that vessel.
Yeah.
And it takes away that me, myself, and I that is that soul man.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Blessing
Hallelujah.
Blessing.
Say victory.
Victory.
What can you not have while you have victory?
Defeat.
You can't be defeated if you have victory. They are mutually exclusive. Where are we coming from? Already have victory. The victory's already won. When Yeshua came up out of that grave, I want you to know there has never been a defeated thought in God's mind. Never was before.
Never was before, yeah.
But I want you to know something else. The devil has never smiled a true smile since then. He's been defeated. Totally defeated. Absolutely. Hallelujah.
By the way, kavod is one of the few Hebrew words I know.
Kavod, I like it. It's a good one. We know it too. The kavod of God. Kavod, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what holy means. It's kadosh. There you got another one.
Kadosh. Almost,
yeah, kadosh is holy. That's right. Amen. We like the Hebrew. We believe we're all going to speak it one of these days. Amen. We're going to be speaking Hebrew. Hallelujah.
It's a living word.
Listen what it says finally in verse 19. It says, and this is that revelation knowledge again. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us? For exceeding greatness. Not just greatness of power, but exceeding greatness of power. Absolute overabundance of power that's already extended from God to us. Amen. Who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Did you just have the revelation of that? So I want you to know, brothers and sisters, laying hands on the sick and they will recover was never meant. Listen, it was never meant to be something that would say, oh, it happened. It should be like, yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, healed, whole. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't it? You see, if we just believe it, it's done. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God's mighty power working in us.
Terry, when the woman with the issue of blood came up and touched Jesus' head, and Jesus said, who touched me? It was her faith. Jesus didn't see her do it. But he felt that presence leave him.
That's right.
And it was her faith.
That's right.
We're the same way. That powerhouse is there. It wasn't like Jesus going, okay, now she's going to come touch me and then I have to...
Didn't have to, did he?
No. But by her faith, the faith is the act of
That's right.
And it takes it. And that he is that pillar of power there for us, just waiting for us to go.
Amen.